Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you moving, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers at Sounds True have chosen a selection from a program they've worked on, which caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, What is Stress?, comes from the audio program Relieve Stress with Medical Hypnosis from Dr. Stephen Gergovich. Mitchell Klute, a producer at Sounds True, worked closely with Dr. Gergovich on the material for this program. Here's what Mitchell had to say about this week's selection. I think this particular selection gives a very clear picture of Dr. Gergovich, or as I came to refer to him, Dr. G, and his methodology and approach to relieving stress through hypnosis. Of course, before we can begin to relieve stress, both biological and psychological, we have to have a clear understanding of what it is and how it works. Here, Dr. G explores the stress response, whether the threat we perceive is real or imagined, and how we can change the mind's and body's automatic responses so that our response to stress can begin to change. Ultimately, says Dr. G, stress is simply the body's response to change. You can download the entire program, Relieve Stress with Medical Hypnosis, at SoundsTrue.com. And now, What is Stress? With Dr. Stephen Gergovich.
We commonly use the word stress to describe many common elements of our life. So much so, the term stress seems commonplace. But if we could converse with the signers of the Declaration of Independence, men and women during the Civil War, proponents of the suffrage movement, or even those reeling from the great stock market crash of 1929, they might be confused by our use of the word stress, even though they were experiencing it. For it was only 50 to 60 years ago that Dr. Hans Selye, an endocrinologist and early pioneer of studying these phenomena of stress, began the more popularized term, stress. It's a term from physics, and in many ways, there's a bit of confusion between stress and strain. Stress is the force on an object, and strain is the response to that stress. Strain is the result or the effect of stress, but the words have become interchangeable. Dr. Selye wrote a book in 1956 called The Stress of Life. His studies documented that stress differs from other physiological responses in that stress is stressful whether one receives good news or bad news, or whether the impulse is positive or negative. Today, the term stress is a biological and psychological term for the consequences of the failure of a human or animal to respond appropriately to emotional or physical threats to the organism, whether they're actual or imagined. The stress response includes that state of alarm we think of as fight or flight. But in some cases, we see that people will respond by freezing up or tending and befriending. Basically, stress is your body's response to change. The most common symptoms of stress include irritability, anxiety, depression, muscle tension, inability to concentrate, and a variety of physical reactions, such as headaches, elevated heart rate, and blood pressure. Tens of thousands of studies now tell us a great deal about stress. In fact, current statistics say that 70% or more of all visits to primary care health providers are due to stress-related problems. About one-half of all adults suffer adverse effects from stress. Estimates are that 1 million Americans miss work due to stress-related problems. And workplace violence has been attributed to stress, homicide being the second leading cause of fatal occupational injury. Stress has been linked to all of the leading causes of death, such as cardiovascular disease, heart attack, cancer, accidents, and suicide. The American Psychological Association performs extensive research on stress in America. In their most recent report, they found that 3/4, 77% of Americans, experienced physical symptoms over the past month, including fatigue, headache, upset stomach, muscle tension, change in appetite, teeth grinding, change in sex drive, feeling dizzy, amongst many others. They found that nearly as many, 73%, experienced psychological symptoms in the last month, including irritability or anger, feeling nervous, lack of energy, and feeling as though they could just cry. Half of adults lay awake at night because of stress, and on average, they report losing 21 hours of sleep per month. 43% overeat or eat unhealthy foods, and more than a third have skipped meals because of stress. The largest jump in stress for Americans has been over work and money. It was seen that stress related to work jumped from 59% to 74%. Stress regarding money jumped from 50% to 73%. We also see stresses regarding housing costs, rent, and mortgage payments. The study also showed that stress affects relationships as well as health. Half of the individuals reported that they have been fighting or arguing with someone close to them, a spouse or a partner, their children, parents, or coworkers. Half reported that stress has a negative impact on their relationship with their spouse or partner. And 1 in 4 report that during the recent past, their personal relationships have suffered because of stress. 8% report a divorce or separation due in part to stress. There are some situations that rate very high on the stress scale, such as the death of a child, or loss of a partner to death, a divorce, a profound illness. And there are stresses that rate relatively very low on the scale, such as buying a refrigerator or a child graduating from school. Some stresses are seen as bad, and some stresses might actually seem to be good. But to the mind-body, stress is stress. Stress is your body's response to change. It is forced adaptation. If you go from a warm room to a cold room, or from a cold room to a warm room, whether it's good or bad, your body is forced to adapt. And that, in and of itself, is a stress on the body. And sometimes the stress causes signs of strain. And sometimes the strain can be very great, and other times very little. But it all adds up. It's accumulative. Basically, stress is your body's response to change. Stress can also be very short in duration, or what's called acute stress, an immediate response to stress that's happening right now. And then there is long-term, unrelenting, or chronic stress. Many of the acute stresses we deal with can be life-threatening and evoke a flight or fight response. We've also observed that there's a gender difference, where particularly women will tend or befriend. They'll group together to comfort others in response to stress. But in any case, life-threatening stress causes the body to create a number of different hormonal and biochemical responses and physiological changes that take place immediately to prepare us instantaneously to save our lives. We inherited this from our prehistoric ancestors that had to be on the lookout for a saber-toothed tiger or some other threat of being killed and eaten. Chronic or long-term stress is the accumulative stress that seems to be the most damaging to our health. Chronic stress has been documented to cause heart disease, stroke, depress the immune system, cause body and weight changes, sleep disturbance, headaches, gastrointestinal problems, and a number of health-related problems caused by the chronic stress that many people have learned to live with and even to accept as a part of life. This doesn't have to be. These are all changeable. We also know a great deal about the stress response and the dynamics that come into play amongst our biophysiology, emotions, attitudes, personality, and lifestyle, and the physical, social, religious, economic, and political environments in which we live. We've come to think of stress as something that affects us, when in fact, it has just about everything to do with how we think, how we perceive, and how we interact with the world that regulates this stress phenomena. We are the medium that life acts upon. We mediate the effects. Since our purpose in this program is to use hypnosis to relieve stress, I'll only mention a few things we know for sure about stress, and these are just examples to stimulate your thinking and perceptions of stress. Some of the early studies about stress came out of the medical examination of what caused heart attacks. They showed that stress and the way we respond to stress can cause illness and death. But the good news is that healthy responses to stress can actually safeguard our health and improve our immune responses and make life more enjoyable. The excitement of a roller coaster ride, learning to ski, playing some sports, just to name a few, evoke many of the same mental and physical responses we experience when a car runs a red light before us, or when we're being stuck in traffic, or when a shoelace snaps when we're late for an appointment. How we perceive the stress, how prepared or equipped we are in our fitness level, nutrition, sleep, and our attitude play a major role in enjoying life or suffering the stresses of life. During the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, studies looked at death from stress, endocrine changes, and various aspects of how stress causes illness. Much was learned about stress from the medical studies from the 1960s that examined what caused sudden death heart attacks. It was believed that risk of death from a sudden death heart attack was attributable to one's family history, blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and habits such as smoking or excessive drinking. But it was seen that astronauts and test pilots who were in excellent health and fitness could show signs of heart attack or death when a situation was out of control. An international association of scientists was formed to specifically look at sudden death heart attacks. Studies were done with Hamadryas baboons, which are pretty similar to us. Hamadryas baboons mate for life, and in these studies, a male and a female baboon would be combined, so they'd set up housekeeping. They would become mates, husbands and wives, so to speak. And then after this housekeeping or marriage-like relationship was created or the bonds were firm, they would remove the male baboon out of the cage and replace him with another male baboon. They'd put the original male baboon in a cage nearby, perhaps 10 or 12 feet away. The baboon that was removed from his mate would vigilantly watch his partner, now living with his replacement, until he would have a heart attack and often die. Other studies looked at German tree shrews. German tree shrews come in two personality types. They're either very aggressive, dominant tree shrews, or they're very passive and submissive. It's one or the other. They would put an aggressive tree shrew in a cage with a submissive, passive tree shrew, separated only by a metal screen so that they could see and smell and watch each other all the time. The dominant tree shrew would go about his life without even noticing the other tree shrew, while the passive tree shrew would be in a constant state of vigilance of the aggressive tree shrew. It didn't take long before the vigilant tree shrew would also have a heart attack. Test pilots were monitored for their heart functions while flying, and when a plane would crash, it was seen that their hearts would stop. They would actually have a myocardial infarct or heart attack even before impact with the earth. After heart attack, analyses of the heart tissue of the baboon, the tree shrew, and the humans were seen to be very similar. The heart muscle would infarct due to the chemical reactions that took place as part of the stress response of the body. These studies and others proved that despite one's family history, diet, fitness level, and habits, when in a situation beyond one's control, when it is sustained, chronic stress, stress out of control, the heart muscle would infarct or arrest. The message clearly demonstrates that stress can kill. Additional studies have shown that the elements which can make stress lethal include sustained stress, poor fitness, deficient diets, poor sleep, unhealthy habits, and not being in control and feeling helpless. Studies also demonstrated the effects on illness like cancer, digestive problems, and the field of psychoneuroimmunology has evolved to study specifically how the immune system is affected by our stress response. Now, certainly, these examples of studies with the baboons and tree shrews seem rather extreme, but I mention them to emphasize one message. The message is, yes, stress can kill, and stress can make us ill. And we're talking about sustained vigilance, a sustained and chronic type of stress that is totally out of our control. The follow-up to this message is positive, though. Fortunately, as humans, we have the capacity to use our consciousness in ways that animals cannot. And if we learn to accept responsibility and manage ourselves in both behaviors as well as mind-body, we can actually mediate these effects. Some early stress management programs took up a warlike theme, much like the war on drugs, the war on crime. And the goal of the early stress management programs was to learn how to combat stress, to beat it, to whip it. Well, if that fits your personality style, loving a challenge, being engaged in a challenge, and having to win, well, that style may be for you. But most find that you just have to accept that stress is not something to conquer and be rid of. Instead, to realize that stressful events in life are inevitable, and the best way to deal with the stressful events in life is to accept that stress is a part of life, and these stressful events in life provide the contrast for knowing what we want, what we like, and what we don't want. And if you dwell on the negative of what you don't want, or dwell on the positive of what you do want, you move in the direction of what you dwell upon. And what you dwell upon is what is attracted to you. Learning self-hypnosis through this program will give you greater skills to control and direct your thoughts about what you want. Our world has become more technologically complex. Our food more processed with unhealthy additives and preservatives. Our environment more polluted with herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, and pesticides. We have a broadcast media that constantly bombards us, stimulating us with immediate vigilance of the tragedies and disasters of the world. The media does this so well that we can just turn it on, and it's like being thrown into a state of hypervigilance. Somehow, we continue to adapt, but not necessarily for the better. Poor stress coping mechanisms can be harmful to our health, while healthy coping mechanisms inoculate, immunize, and insulate us from developing the harmful patterns of stress response. Pharmaceuticals and supplements are not the answer. Instead, developing healthy patterns of stress response and healthy lifestyles are the most effective ways to protect and insulate ourselves from what can be perceived as a stressful world or a beautiful world. There are thousands of books, articles, workshops, and seminars with excellent information and methods that teach you how to manage stress by creating healthy stress response patterns. This program uses hypnosis to deliver this information to your subconscious so that you find yourself enjoying the transition from unhealthy stress responses into the healthy patterns that insulate you from what could be perceived as stress. In short, you'll experience hypnosis in ways that build your immunity to stress and to relieve your stress and restore your peace with hypnosis.